Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
What's up? Welcome to Barton and Bud. I'm Barton Simmons with Bud Elliott. We got a good weekend of ball in. We got some good games. I feel like after what last weekend's when the best slate, felt a little better about things this weekend. But I don't know. The competition has continued well beyond the field, well into Sunday night. That's when we're talking to you. You may be listening to us on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, but as we sit here Sunday night, things are getting a little spicy. Press conferences, press availability quotes from Dabo Swinney and the BYU Washington reports going back and forth have given us a little bit of a little bit of dueling narratives here this evening.
We really could have used this last weekend. Like if we had come on last Sunday and we had all this stuff to talk about, I'd been really excited because last Saturday's games were just kind of, yeah. This Saturday, we actually had good games. But yeah, we have Dabo saying that Florida State's basically ducking Clemson over Clemson, you know, following protocol, according to him, ACC protocol for the COVID stuff. And then they flew with the guy on the team plane who had COVID, and Florida State being very low on scholarship players right now, didn't want to risk that. And they said they'd be happy to play them. Is this the first time we've seen a team actually travel and then like have the game canceled day of game?
I think so.
Trailblazer.
Yeah. All right. I get the sense that's sort of what Dabo is so pissed about. In fact, there was even a, you know, there was a quote somewhere, I guess it was being like, in bringing up the idea of rescheduling this game, Dabo was like, well, either we play the game at our place or they refund us the $300,000 it cost to travel to their place. Right. So that was sort of the, you know, part of what I think sort of stuck in his craw was like, we came down, we were ready, we followed the protocol. There was a positive test. He tested positive because we were following the protocol. He was asymptomatic heading in. Like,
but he was symptomatic earlier in the week, though. That was the issue.
Earlier in the week, but he had negative tests.
Right.
So Anahickey, this comes from a Clemson official. Player had symptoms early in the week, and so he did not practice Monday and Tuesday despite testing negative on those days. So he was symptomatic but testing negative. He was asymptomatic on Wednesday, so he was cleared to practice, tested negative on Thursday. On Friday, he was anti-symptomatic again. He did not travel with symptoms, and then I guess, I don't know when that, like Friday night or, Saturday,
test
he tested positive. Yeah, he said he tested positive without symptoms after having symptoms like related or unrelated earlier in the week, who knows? And frankly, like this may very well have ended up being a false positive. This is just like the whole thing is just, so I don't know if we even set this up, but Florida State canceled. Dabo Swinney is, the quotes from Dabo Swinney are, let's see. Basically he said like Florida State didn't want to play us. It wasn't a COVID thing. They just were scared to play us. And he went on to say things like the standard to cancel game was not met. Guy tested positive Friday, does not cancel game. I was on every committee meeting since March. And that was never the case. COVID, here it is. Here's the quote. Here's the money line. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. So that's pretty much calling your shot. Obviously, Florida State's side of things, they're not comfortable with it. I think, I don't know, man. Like, I the safe thing to do is not to take a side on this sort of deal. I know that Dabo is frustrated, but I get his frustration. I really do. Like, this is all supposed to be just sort of par for the course. This is supposed to be what we all signed up for. We all agreed upon. Like, we're all trying to work through this together. This, I can understand his perspective of feeling like this is an overreaction.
I totally get where Dabo's coming from. I mean, did they follow the protocol? I think by the letter of law, yeah. Could they have been a little more conservative with it and, you know, maybe held the guy out one extra day once he wasn't showing symptoms, you know, maybe wait for two tests? Sure, but like, you don't have to do that if you're following the letter of the law. Obviously, if the guy just travels on the team plane after being symptomatic during the week and then pops positive on Friday after traveling in a plane, we just saw what happened with A&M and Florida and all those things. FSU is going to get smoked in that game regardless. Jordan Travis's fingers all busted up. I mean, I'm annoyed because, like, for Bud's Bets column, I had Clemson first half, Florida State team total first half under, you know, Clemson for the game at really nice numbers, and then it gets all canceled there. But FSU has games left against Virginia and against Duke, which they're not going to be favored in those games, probably. But they're at least games that will offer them a challenge and an opportunity to work. So from their perspective, if there's any chance that they're going to catch COVID from this, which I think is pretty low, to be honest, I don't think we have any evidence of on-field spread at this point. Right. But if there's any chance, then I understand, you know, why their medical staffs would disagree. If you're Dabo, you want to have that bye week before the ACC title game, which they would currently have if they don't have to make up this game. There's no way in hell Dabo wants to travel to play, you know, Florida State the week before the ACC title game. They're going to win regardless, but, you know, I think that's what he's so mad about.
To me, Florida State administration forfeited the game. If FSU wants to play the game, they either need to reimburse Clemson for the trip or come to Clemson. That's from Dabo. I'm curious what it means to be symptomatic. Is it just literally like cold symptoms? Because, buddy, it's November 22nd.
Right.
My whole house has symptoms. Like, there hadn't been a November 22nd in 6 years where my whole house hadn't had sniffly noses this time of year. So is that what it means to be symptomatic? Or I wonder if there's some more, very COVID specific symptoms that they're referring to. Cause if so, like, I got to imagine that there's a lot of symptoms out there on football practice fields right now. And do you hold all these guys out of practice? I don't know. Like, this, all this stuff is so, so wild.
It really is. This is unprecedented times. Like you said, BYU and Washington, we won't spend a ton of time on this, but BYU and Washington were trying to get a game. BYU, from their standpoint, so the Washington side is saying that BYU turned it down. The BYU side is saying basically that they turned it down because Washington would not guarantee them that the game would be played, because Washington could obviously find another Pac-12 opponent there after the Apple Cup was off. Man, this is such a wild thing. Like I post my bets column, and 5 minutes later, we already have games getting canceled. I was like, I had Washington there. That's annoying. You know, sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going.
No, I was going to transition it out. You got more on Washington?
No, I do. So here's the thing, because okay. I think that this is an important, like, this is an interesting conflict, right? Is that the fact that BYU, who's sitting there, may very well legitimately be one of the best four teams in college football. Like, I don't know how far-fetched you think that is, but they're pretty much boat racing everyone they play. They got a legitimate first round draft pick at the quarterback position. They're a really good football team. There's no chance, zero chance they go to the college football playoffs, in my opinion. We're going to get to that, by the way. We're going to talk about college football playoffs and likelihood the teams make it. But BYU ain't getting in there at the current rate that it has, that is going with the current schedule that it has to work with. So, all right, Washington pops up. They got an open date. All of a sudden, week of, BYU sitting out. Thanksgiving chilling this week, thinking they had some time off. Washington wants to play. BYU says, no, we're not going to play you. We're not going to schedule this game and have y'all pull the plug on us 2 days earlier because Utah opens up or because some other school opens up and you can kick us to the curb to get another Pac-12 game in, which their fear of. Now, obviously, Washington would want to play this game, but the Pac-12 might make Washington play a Pac-12 game. So here's my thing is, whatever the reasons BYU have for pumping the brakes on this, I think you really don't have a leg to stand on. If you want to get in the college football playoffs, you are fighting an uphill battle. You are swimming upstream. You're a really good team. Go play it. Anybody, anywhere, anytime. Just go play it. Agree to it. If you get, if they pull the plug on you last minute, what's the worst that happens? I don't know. You lose some deposits or something. You've wasted 4 days of energy when you could have been resting up. You got another bye week after it. You got like 2 bye weeks after, I think. Like, you've got some time to rest here. It's okay to, like, I think I saw some Twitter mentioned somewhere say that BYU's a proud program. They don't have to do that. Bullshit. Like, yeah, you do. Like, if you want to get in the playoffs, take a chance. And it's the same thing as this UCF stuff where it's like, listen, like, we're never going to go schedule. We're not going to play,
Florida with the 2-for-1. We're not going to play Florida. Have the one be a Camping World. Yeah. Like,
yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Well, then have fun continuing to sit out on the outside looking in at the playoffs. Like, if you want to do this from a group of five or from a non-Power Five conference, you might have to make a sacrifice that another team can't make or doesn't have to make. That's, you know, if you don't think it's fair, sorry for you, but you're going to be sitting on the sideline for the playoffs if you don't do this. And there's a real opportunity here for BYU. Yeah, they could play Washington, and Washington legitimately could go and win the Pac-12. And if BYU had won that game, it gets a lot harder to keep them out of the playoffs if they keep on boat racing everybody. And obviously, you know, it goes without saying, this is big for the Pac-12 too, if Washington can get that game in, because then, hey, you know, if Washington beats them, that's another one for their resume. They go and win the Pac-12. That looks good for the Pac-12. It looks good if Oregon beats Washington. It looks good if USC beats Washington in the Pac-12 championship game if they've got a BYU win from a transitive standpoint on that resume across the board in the Pac-12. So it's a win-win for a lot of people. BYU just doesn't want to be inconvenienced. And I acknowledge they would be inconvenienced, but that's the breaks, man. If you want to get in the playoffs, you got to do that.
I agree with you. And remember, Parton, it's not just the playoffs for them. It's also, can you get into one of those New Year's Six bowl games? Because they are not a group of five member. They're not in the league. They're an independent. So they need these quality wins to get in as an at-large. I agree. It's not a great look for BYU. I will say for UCF, I don't think they actually want to play Florida. All right, and I got a lot of UCF friends. I think it's all posturing,
right?
You know, they want to be in the news. They want to stay relevant. They want to keep that loss column as small as possible. They don't want to play Florida because, like, the risk. People are like, UCF has everything to gain, nothing to lose. No, because their entire thing is based on, like, winning all these games and saying they're just as good as everybody else is. If they get smacked by Florida one of these years, people are going to remember that. It took Boise a long time to get over Georgia smacking Zabransky between the hedges. And in fact, I think Boise honestly struggled to get respect until they came back and won that Fiesta Bowl over Oklahoma. Like, it can hurt a program, a G5 type program, if you lose one of those games. But I don't think this situation applies to BYU. I think BYU absolutely should have rolled the dice and tried to play this game against Washington. Like, I'd love to see BYU in the playoffs. I think they'd lose because I'm not really sure that defense is that good, but it would be fun to watch, man. I'm all about it.
But it could be the same deal. It could be, you know what? Hey, Zach Taylor may want to play anybody anywhere, or Zach Wilson, sorry. But the administrators, you know, maybe they're sitting there being like, this could be, you know, if we can just keep that zero in the loss column in this year, and we can just be talking about the 2020 season forever, about how this was a team that should have been in the playoffs, and just a should have been the playoffs team forever. And they don't have to worry about it because they're not going to lose any more games. They're going to beat San Diego State. So can you get Oregon on the schedule? Can you get Washington on the schedule? Do it. And if you don't, then congratulations. You can sit around talking about how this was the season that should have been forever and ever. And that's fun too, but you're not actually going to have a shot at the playoffs.
All right. So Barton texted me tonight and he said, "Hey, I don't want to do game review tonight, even if it's deep dive stuff. Let's do something a little broader. Let's do something different." And so I was poking around, and ESPN has this playoff predictor thing where it puts out percentages, how likely a team is to make the college football playoff. And I said, well, what we could do is basically read the team off, read their number off, and Barton and I can discuss whether we think that's a fair number, and then also use that as a jumping off point to talk about the teams. And he liked the idea. So that's what we're going to do starting right now. Dealer's choice, Mr. Simmons, who do you want first?
I mean, let's get the low-hanging fruit out of the way. Alabama, what's their number here?
94%.
Yeah, I mean, at least, you know, like the Alabama looks like the best team in college football, and they're really the only team that we can look at right now. I mean, unless you want to throw like BYU or Cincinnati in there, and you're just going to just sort of, you know, go to war with the idea that these two teams are actually juggernauts, which I don't think anyone believes they're on the Alabama level. But those are the only two teams in terms of what the product that they put on the field is, in terms of like the margin of victory, the dominance they've shown, the game control or whatever. Like Alabama has I don't even think necessarily pulled away from the pack, but the pack has sort of receded away from Alabama.
Yeah.
I think they're just they're not perfect. Their defense is, you know, it's not 2010 or whatever the loaded Alabama defense of the old were, but their offense is still really good, and there's still a Nick Saban team, and this is the team you trust more than anyone else. And they just blinked, and it was 63-3 against Kentucky, and no one else is doing that right now.
Just nobody's getting to Mac Jones. Like that's the one thing. I watch these games, and Mac Jones is just so clean, and he has so much time back there in the pocket. It reminds me a little bit of 2008 Oklahoma with Sam Bradford, and just nobody touched Sam Bradford really pretty much all year until they went and played Florida in the Orange Bowl, and UF got to him a couple times and ultimately just ended up outscoring those guys. I agree. Bama looks like the far and away the best team right now. I think they'd be favored over every other team, you know, on a neutral site. And what's interesting to me is, so ESPN has their playoff number at 94%. It only has the go undefeated number at 74%. So ESPN is implying here that there's a pretty decent chance that even if Bama were to lose a game, that it's still getting in. Do you think they're at that point?
Yeah. Part of my preparation for this, I just sort of went through each team and kind of looked at like how could they get in basically, or what would keep them out. I think Alabama would need two losses to get out, to be left out. I think if it loses somewhere in the regular season and doesn't lose in the SEC championship game, because it would have to lose twice to even get knocked out of the SEC championship game.
Right.
At this point. So as long as it makes the SEC championship game and wins there, it's in. If it goes undefeated until the SEC championship game and loses there, presumably to Florida, as long as they don't get like blown out, I still think that they're in. I don't really even see an argument for them not to be in.
I pretty much agree with you. If you think about what they're going to have, they blew out Georgia at the end. They crushed Texas A&M, which has proven to be a pretty decent team, you know, thereafter. They really haven't had any close games or scares with people, with the exception of that Ole Miss game early in the year. And yeah, if they get blown out by Florida, that's probably the only way I see them, you know, not making it, unless they were to somehow lose to Auburn this weekend, which I don't see that's going to happen. a team that looks a little bit less strong to me. And we talked about this in the preview. So what did we say? Can Indiana sustain drives? Can they go on long drives? You know, can they be methodical? Probably not. But they hit explosive plays at a high rate. That's kind of all their offense is, that scoring off turnovers. And Ohio State has been kind of leaky, giving up big plays. Indiana. Good God, did they hit some explosive plays in this game? Like, that's a little bit scary, man. Like that, because Clemson going to hit some big plays. If this Ohio State team has to play Alabama, they might hit some big plays. This is this Ohio State defense. The guys on you know Bucknut's Morning Five podcast have been all over this with the cornerback situations there. It's not great. Their playoff number is only 71%, and even that, all those complaints I just had, and maybe Ohio State not being quite as good on the line of scrimmage. I do feel like 71% here is low. I think they're higher.
Well, the only thing the only reason I kind of agree with that is because is who's left on their schedule. So they got to play. I think I'm this is off memory here. I think it's Illinois, Michigan State, and Michigan left.
Correct.
And then you got to beat. Presumably, I think Northwestern on the other end.
Northwestern has a 96% chance to win the division. So
yeah, okay,
yeah.
So I just don't know that I see any of those teams beating them, and yet so because of that, again, and as I looked at this team from a you know chances that they're in, like how could they get left out? I think that they have to win every game. They don't look good enough at this point to absorb a loss. They don't have a 12-game schedule to absorb a loss and make up ground. If they lose, whether that's in the Big Ten championship game or before the Big Ten championship game, you know, I guess you could make a case that they'll get in if they you know lose to Michigan State or something and win the Big Ten championship, but I think that's far from a lock. I think you know you could see some real temptations to put a second SEC team in. You could see some temptations to put certainly a second ACC team in, depending on how that finishes out there. You could suddenly have a real temptation to put an undefeated Pac-12 team in. Even, and we'll get to them, like, I think you start looking at Ohio State with one loss of Big Ten championship and comparing them to a two-loss Oklahoma team that is a Big 12 championship. Like some of these things, like those become problems for Ohio State then. So Ohio State has to win out, I think, in part because it is only seven games. And if you can't get through that undefeated, then you don't really deserve to be in.
Are we making a bright line rule that the if you want to go to the playoff from the Big 10, you've got to be undefeated? If it applies to Ohio State, kind of got to apply to everybody else, right?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I can't imagine who's popping up with one loss out of that conference right now that's compelling.
The other thing that hurts Ohio State's chance here of going with one loss is, look, all credit to Northwestern. We'll talk about them in a second, but that's not a name. And beating Northwestern, like if you were to lose to Michigan State, still win the East, still go to the title game, and then you beat Northwestern, that's not going to sway voters on that committee. Like Northwestern is not a team that they're going to respect. Northwestern had a 25% success rate over the weekend. I mean, that's just what they're doing is not sustainable. I mean, this is luck.
So they had a 0% success rate in the third quarter.
Yeah, they had a 5% rushing success rate for the game. 5%.
Like there wasn't a single offensive play in the third quarter that could be considered successful.
But you might be thinking, oh, but they made up for it with explosive plays. Not the case. Wisconsin actually had twice as many explosive plays as the Wildcats. And this is how Fitz wants to do it, I guess.
No doubt.
He's just good at doing it this way. But the voters are not going to fall in love with this if Ohio State like slips up and then beats them in the championship game. That ain't happening. So I have Ohio State a little bit higher. I just think they can outscore everybody left on their schedule. I make their win out percentage like 75 or 76. So I think maybe 3-4 points higher is probably fair.
All right. Notre Dame is an interesting one. What's the percentage at? Where they at?
59. So this playoff.
That's a little surprising.
This is interesting. So let's think about this. So they have a game this weekend at North Carolina, which is far from a lock. They're only a 4-point favorite.
Yeah, UNC. I think that's a scary game. I don't know. Maybe this goes without saying, but I think that's the toughest game on the schedule. Not Clemson, as everyone was talking about that BC game last week as a potential trap spot. Like, I wasn't that worried about that one. But even back then, I was kind of circling this North Carolina one. That's the scary one to me.
There's no doubt about it. I think that this Notre Dame team is a really good football team. It seems to know what it is. We had our doubts about its ability to play at the highest level due to their outside explosiveness. That could still come back to bite them if they were to play Alabama or somebody. But I don't think it's going to bite them quite so much as far as the path to get to the playoff. But 59%, I certainly wouldn't say it should be higher than this. Their win-out percentage, so their chance of going undefeated through the conference title game, according to ESPN, is only 26%. So you're looking at a 26% win out percentage and a 59% go to the playoff percentage. That's a pretty heavily implied Notre Dame is going with one loss proposition there. And I don't know, man. You think they're greater than 50% to go at this point? That seems like they're 60% is really high.
So I think I'd be very interested in what that number would be. If they were already past North Carolina, because I wonder how much of that number is about the likelihood of them losing to North Carolina or the possibility of them losing to North Carolina versus how much of it is about them going with one loss. Because they're going to beat Syracuse. I got to think they're going to beat Wake, though. That's much less of a given. I do think that if they go 3-0 these next three games, get to the ACC championship game, and lose close to Clemson, again, when you talk about, I think that's a team that would have a really good shot at getting in. I think a one loss team with a one possession loss to Clemson after having already beaten Clemson would have a really good shot at getting in. Do you disagree with that?
No, I think they would have certainly a really good shot to get in. And I pulled it up here on ESPN's FPI numbers, which I think this is where the predictor comes from, using the FPI and running a lot of different scenarios here. So it basically has them at 70% to beat to beat North Carolina.
Okay.
Certainly. So that's a little bit baked into this. If they had already beaten North Carolina, their playoff percentage would probably be, high 60s? That does seem generous. I think we have a lot of stuff still that we don't know that's going to happen in the other leagues. I think you've talked me into this 59% number not being outrageous. I still think it's slightly high. I'm a little closer to 50% than I am to 60, but this seems okay.
The problem with Notre Dame is I do think that, they can't afford to lose by 17 to Clemson.
Right.
It's not a loss. It's not just binary. I think there's different, versions of the loss that are gonna have different impacts on their outcome. And so by that, it's certainly not like, if they get to the championship game, it's not like they're definitely in. I think what happens in that game, even if it's a loss and how it happens, is going to be pretty, pretty critical in determining how likely a playoff berth is.
That's very fair. So here's one for you. 35% Cincinnati Bearcats.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting to me is they're higher than Clemson.
Yeah.
That's a little befuddling to me. Talk me through it, math guy.
I think that this is something that maybe their inputs or or their values in their algorithm are not correct. So I'm not saying that they have incorrect data in there. I just think that like the way they've programmed this playoff predictor, I don't think correctly accounts for the implicit bias that the committee has repeatedly shown against the group of five teams. Right. And I'm not saying that we should have had a group of five team in the playoff. In fact, I think for the most part, I come down against that argument for most of the prior years. But like, I kind of had a little suggested tab over here on the right side of my screen, what I think this should be. I think Cincinnati's playoff chance is probably like 5%, not 35%. They're you know, better than a coin flip to win out, but not by a ton. I mean, Tulsa will have somewhat of a shot against them if Tulsa wants to keep pulling off these absolute miracle comebacks and, you know, screwing up my live betting. And they, you know, they have some other games that they could potentially lose, not many, but 35%, I just don't think takes into account the 35% is like if they took this resume and they were actually in a Power Five conference. They're not, though. They're in a G5, and the committee just doesn't give the G5 teams the time of day. I think this is way off here.
Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken here, Cincinnati has a bye week or an off date December 5th. BYU also has an off date December 5th. There's a lot of fluidity in these schedules, so maybe I could be mistaken. But if those two teams have an off date, I mean, someone's got to explain to me why you wouldn't get that game scheduled. What bureaucratic reason would you not get that game scheduled?
So if you realize that regardless of what happens in that game, you're not going to get picked for the playoff, but if you lose that game, you could lose your chance at a payout that you get from going to the New Year's Six Bowl. So your risk far outweighs your possible reward if you are way too far back in the playoff standings. If I'm Cincinnati, just being pragmatic here, there is no way in hell that I schedule that game now. I want to wait a week or two to take a look and say, okay, where are we in the playoff standings? If we're really close, then you know what? Maybe I'll roll the dice if I'm Cincinnati's AD and say, let's go for it. I'm sure Fickell would be cool with it. But if we're not that close, I'm not risking my spot as the team who's going to go to New Year's Six from the G5 by losing to BYU, which I think if you lost to BYU, it probably would cost you your chance to go to the New Year's Six Bowl. So that's why it's kind of risk reward and just the odds just may not be in their favor there.
That makes sense. I got you. All right. So that answers that question.
Bart, are you symptomatic?
I'm a little symptomatic right now. I don't think I think we'd be getting games canceled right now if I was on the roster. So Cincinnati, I wrote down here to get them in the playoffs. They got to get a game with BYU, but you're saying maybe that they should, maybe it's not even worth it. But we're talking about playoffs. We're talking about playoffs or bust here. So either Cincinnati or a Power Five team, I think. Otherwise, you would have to have I think there's still chaos that could happen that could be beneficial here. So just hear me out. All right, so Notre Dame wins out. Bama wins out. There's a three-loss Big 12 champion. There's a one-loss Pac-12 champion, and Ohio State wins out. I think you got a shot there. That's a lot. That's a lot of ifs.
That is a lot. Do you think that scenario represents 35% of the possible scenarios? Like, no way, right?
No, yeah. That's a little high.
All right. After this ad break, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about a team that is absolutely way too low.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
News CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, welcome back to Barton and Bud. We're in the middle of playing the pick apart the ESPN playoff predictor game here. Clemson Tigers have a 33.5% chance to make the playoff, according to the ESPN playoff predictor. And dude, I'll kind of walk through this, and I'm going to need some explanation from you here. So ESPN says that Clemson has a 63% chance to win out, which includes the conference title game, obviously, but a 33.5% chance to make the playoff.
Yeah. Okay.
How does this work?
Yeah, I don't know. You're the big brain. As I understand it, if you got a 63% chance to win out as Clemson, you got a 63% chance to make the playoffs, right?
That's what I think.
Or
it should be at least that high. Yeah. Like, what scenario does Clemson win out, win the ACC, and not go?
Yeah, there's a kink in the system there.
Also, if Clemson does not win out, it's real definitely simple. Not going. Like, this one should be really simple. It should just match the win-out percentage. If Clemson wins out, it's going.
Right.
If it doesn't, it's not. It's almost like the ESPN computer is sitting here thinking, okay, we're gonna weigh the two resumes. Who is stronger, Notre Dame or Clemson, if they both end up with one loss or something? But like, we know from past years that the playoff is going to value winning a conference title. It's actually in their thing of one of their things that they are supposed to consider. So, yeah, I think we should double this. It's more like a 65-66% shot that they have to go.
Yeah, it's real simple to me. Just let me just put a gun to your head here, and as a commentary on how good you think Clemson is, do you think we're going to see them in the playoffs?
I do. Yeah. I like him in a rematch with Trevor. And looking this, like, so DJ threw the ball extremely well against Notre Dame, but Notre Dame was also really loaded up to stop the run, and he had some pretty favorable looks to throw. I think that Clemson's offense will be able to be more two-dimensional against the Irish in a rematch, because I don't think you can play coverage against Clemson against Trevor the same way that you played it against DJU. Now, look, he handled it extremely well, to his credit, but I think having Trevor makes them more two-dimensional on offense, and I would pick Clemson, especially on a neutral field, over the Irish with Trevor. So, yeah, I think Clemson's
going to win. Do you think Clemson, neutral field, everyone's healthy, all things being equal, is Clemson the second-best team in the country, you think?
Yeah, I didn't think so before this weekend, but this Ohio State secondary thing does not seem to be going away. Mm-hmm. And we've
looked. No, I think Ohio State's like that. That exposed some things for Ohio State. That doesn't mean that they're not going to, you know, they got room to improve. They got time to figure it out. But based on what we saw this weekend, they got some work to do.
You would take Clemson over Ohio State if they play tomorrow.
I think I would. Yeah. I think I would.
Me too. Okay. So this is an interesting pairing. Maybe we could tackle both of these. Oregon at 27%, USC at 15%. Barton, I kind of think that these are either way too low or way too high. And for me, it's a question of, is the committee going to actually care about what the Pac-12 does? Is the Pac-12 going to have enough games? Because if the committee actually pays respect to what the Big 12 is, or what the Pac-12 is doing, then 27% for Oregon is probably pretty low, and it should be higher. But are they writing this formula to account for just a total lack of games and just not having enough of a resume?
I'm having a hard time seeing a Pac-12 team get in. I think it's part of the, and it's a really tricky situation because it's obviously not the player's fault. It's not the coach's fault. It's not even the administrator's fault, really. It's just sort of the hand that they've been dealt. And yet a football season is like the one of the like most difficult defining things about having a successful football season is the like resilience you have to show in battling health issues and staying focused week in, week out and surviving the year. Because how many times have we seen really good teams get tripped up in week 9 or just somewhere along the way? And just because you don't even know which game's the game. Well, if you got 6 games in a championship game or 5 games in a championship game or 4 games in a championship game, that's just, you're not really testing a team. And so, I mean, I'm obviously sort of conflicted in this because those kids, those players deserve a chance. But yet if Oregon or USC, let's just say finishes as the 6-0 Pac-12 champion,
right,
and you put them up against, I don't know, a team that's got an 11-game resume or a 10-game resume, that's a tough sell for me, man. That's a really tough sell. So I think I don't think anyone in the Pac-12 right now, I mean, Oregon just, hey, they beat UCLA, but they barely beat UCLA. I mean, USC, we know how bad they've looked first 2 games of the year. Washington, you can throw them in there. They had this was a really impressive weekend against Arizona. They looked, the Oregon State game was solid. First game with a new offensive coordinator and breaking in a new system. I love Washington right now, by the way. They're mashing people.
They're physical. Their offense I don't love, but like they do smash people. Defensively.
I like that they're owning, but I like that they're owning that identity. Like I'm not necessarily vouching for that system. But they're just decided. They just decided this offseason, you know what? We're going to be a pro style team that's going to run it down your throat, and we're gonna play a bunch of tight ends, and we're gonna be old school Stanford, and I think they've leaned into that identity. So, but my greater point is, I'm open to it. I'm open to an undefeated Pac-12 team in the playoffs, but they have to be dominant all the way through. And to this point, no one has been totally dominant in the Pac-12.
That's the other point. I completely agree. If we had one team in the Pac-12 that was smashing everybody, I think that would make sense. But I mean, Oregon winning by 1 score over UCLA's backup quarterback is not really going to move the needle. But let me throw this out to you. Ohio State is already down a game because the Maryland game got canceled. Undefeated Oregon that beats undefeated USC in the Pac-12 title game, or 1-loss Ohio State, Big 12 or Big 10 champion. There's only one fewer game.
Yeah,
right?
I would take
the
Pac-12.
Both have the same number of wins.
Yeah, I would take the Pac-12.
I think I would too, which is absolutely crazy. And there's no way in hell I would pick Oregon to beat Ohio State. But resume wise,
because you got to think about who that would have mean Ohio State would have lost to, right?
Probably Michigan State. Or
Illinois. I mean, those three teams are sort of the same caliber team right now. Like you can't say Michigan is a bigger threat to beat them than Illinois is. Like I think that's the point. And I mean, or Northwestern. So what would you say? Big 10 champion with 1 loss. So yeah, it'd be one of those three teams. And that's just a bad look, especially considering, I mean, think back at Ohio State now. I mean, I know that Ohio State's win over Penn State was part of the process of breaking Penn State. And they have crumbled into what they are now in part because of that loss to Ohio State, but still it's only a 13-point win over a team that's now 0-5.
Right. Can we give a shout out to Lovie Smith, by the way? I know people want to fire Lovie Smith. He took his team to a bowl game last year. His players don't seem to get in trouble. I think he's doing a fairly good job there. It's a extremely difficult job. They have two wins on the year. They played Purdue within a single score. They've had a whole bunch of COVID stuff to deal with. They're probably going to lose out on the year and go 2-6. They finished with Ohio State, Iowa, Northwestern. Not the easiest of slates there, but they pounded Nebraska, man. They came out and they were out physical all day. And they beat Rutgers. Okay. I don't know. Like what more do you want at Illinois? Like I think Lovie's doing a fine job.
It sucks that we have not gotten a regular schedule, healthy, non-COVID season to see what Illinois would have been this year. I mean, I'm okay to keep on just sort of being rough on Lovie if they go 4-8 this year in a regular year, because I mean, it's okay for us to sort of want more than 4-8 eternally at Illinois, but they were healthy this weekend and they finally had Brandon Peters is back and the COVID issues were under control and they just freaking blasted Nebraska. That's a different story. Like Nebraska, but yeah, like there was a lot of reason to think Illinois had a chance to be a pretty good team this year heading into the season. And maybe they would have been, maybe they are. We'll see what happens the rest of the year. I mean, that's a team that could catch you.
I completely agree. All right. So moving right along here, Northwestern we skipped BYU. BYU, 14%. We talked about them earlier. Barton, I think they have a 0% chance to make it.
So what about if they just hypothetically they get Washington on there this weekend? They win by 20. All right. Let's just look at this from a best case scenario perspective here. They beat Washington by 20 this weekend. Washington goes on to, let's just say they don't win the Pac-12, but let's say they win the North. And lose in the Pac-12 championship game. Is it still zero?
It's not still zero. Because at that point you have some decent wins on the schedule. So you crush Navy. People are going to talk about the narrative of what went down in that game. And
let me ask you this.
Good.
Does it change and does it matter? Like if, when I say they beat Washington by 20, does it matter if they beat them by one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's not a volume thing. It's not they need one more win. They need another, look, this team, because they have to out and out convince the committee against this schedule. Navy, Troy, La Tech, UTSA, Houston, Texas State, Western Kentucky, Boise, North Alabama, and San Diego State. Now, they beat the hell out of Boise. Boise had a lot of guys out in that game, but they still crushed them.
Boise was playing their, third-string quarterback, right? Because they Bachmeier was out. Sears got hurt the first series. So even that, I mean, look, fortunately for BYU, they did crush them. Because I think if that was a close game, then we already scratched them from the list. But they did crush Boise, and that's really the only thing that keeps them alive. Which is why I'm with you. It is unless they get Cincinnati or a really good Power Five team on the schedule, I think it's a zero.
So here's something that the committee will look at, and they won't use this exact number because they're not supposed to, but they'll look at some of this stuff. Here's the FPI ranks for the opponents that BYU has played so far. 96, 92, 98, 108, 50, that's Houston. 113, 107, 41, that's Boise. North Alabama is not ranked. San Diego State, 60. So they will have played so far three, because San Diego State, in the top half of college football, and nobody in the top 40. Although I think both you and I agree that if Boise gets their guys back and start, they'll play better and they'll get into that top 40 in a lot of those power rankings. Washington is clearly a top 40 team already, and you're going to need Washington to continue to win, and you're going to need to smoke them if you want to have any shot. As currently comprised, it's a zero. I mean, they might not even make a New Year's Six Bowl if they go undefeated, much less the playoff.
Yeah,
because they're not in a conference.
Sorry, BYU. All right.
Do you want to do this next? You want to sell me on these guys? I want to hear this.
I mean, look, Northwestern's been my team since COVID, since the early COVID, the dawn of the COVID age. Northwestern's been my squad.
returning.
They've lived up to my expectations, all my hopes and dreams I had for them when they were just a little baby team that I was pitching. But they don't need to do anything more. Daddy loves them. This is as far as they need to go. I don't expect anything else out of them. Yes, if they went out, they're in. I don't think they went out. I think as much as I am a Northwestern believer, and I even on the Cover 3 pod, I picked them on a Moneyline Sprinkle to win, but they are they're built to beat Wisconsin. I just don't think they're built to beat Ohio State. I think they can get into that game undefeated. They would certainly have to, and if they won it, they'd be in. But I don't think that's the type of team that's going to give Ohio State problems.
Yeah, I would agree because it's just how many points are they going to score against Ohio State on their best day, even with a couple of Ohio State turnovers? 24? And I just don't know that Northwestern has the ability to hold Ohio State under 30, even on their very best day. I don't see it happening. Is that game still in the dome? Like we're not going to get some kind of like weird Big Ten weather stuff, right? No snow game potential here.
No, yeah, I think that's still in the dome.
So
I'm trying to think. So they had when was like what was the game that they almost beat Ohio State? How long ago was that? It was maybe it was 20.
Oh, the one where Ohio State gets 15, the crazy 16? Cover at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
God, that had to be like 5 years ago, man.
Yeah, so like, you know, it's conceivable, with the right just bonkers, like just bonkers plays that take place. But no, that's not the team. It would take a ridiculous occurrence for that to happen.
So here's what I don't get: their win out percentage, 10.5. Their playoff percentage, 14%. What is the 3.5% scenario here that Northwestern is going to the playoff if it is not undefeated? Like one loss conference champ Northwestern? I guess.
Well,
with an Ohio State win?
They would have to. Yeah. So if Ohio State wins out, And Northwest or wins out to the championship game. Northwestern loses. I don't even know who that's on the rest of their schedule. Northwestern just sort of loses some slog of a Northwestern game, and then they beat Ohio State. I could buy that. You beat Ohio State and you're a Big Ten champ. There is a path for you.
We're gonna look back and remember this. If this happens, this is the worst playoff team in the history of the playoff.
We won't have to worry about that.
Like that Michigan State team that got smoked by Bama. Move on over. Like this team is like orders of magnitude worse than that team was. So
fighting Reese Davis's.
How did they find that, by the way? Like who is watching that television show?
Hey man, those guys got a lot of dead time in hotels.
I guess. Man,
nothing else to do.
Man, I don't know. I'm not watching 10 hours of college football, like studio shows with guys just arguing with each other nonstop. But that's just me.
You're not COVID quarantined in a hotel room. Nothing else to do.
Is that when they found it? During the, okay.
I guarantee you. I don't even know when the quote came. It was just for those who hadn't heard, Joey Galloway called Northwestern a bunch of fighting Reese Davises and said they weren't going to be able to beat Wisconsin. And after the game and his post-game interview, Pat Fitzgerald said that was a major motivator, and a bunch of players were running off the field yelling, fighting Reese Davises, fighting Reese Davises. So that was clearly some bulletin board material from Joey Galloway. But I guarantee you it was said, you know, one of those nighttime games, probably Friday night halftime or whatever. And when those dudes are just like kicking up, laying in their hotel bed with their roommate, just watching TV, and probably everyone saw it at the same time and just started texting each other. And it was their rallying cry the rest of the weekend.
That's college kids are amazing. This would never happen in the pros. So Gators and Aggies, 12.5% for Florida, 11.5% for the Aggies. I kind of think, I want to say these are low. And if we're going to say Cincinnati and BYU are way too high here, then we need to basically find some other teams to attribute the, you know, the too low for. Clemson is an obvious one. Bama might be, maybe bump them up. Ohio State bump up a little bit. Are you surprised that Florida's chance of winning out is only 11%? Like, do you think, are we making a mistake as a college football media of just assuming that UF is going to win all three remaining regular season games? Because I'm seeing a lot of that out there. Right? Okay, like Florida's going to Atlanta, which they are, because they'd have to lose twice in order to.
But winning out includes beating Alabama, right?
Correct. That their win out shot is 10.7%, and I just feel like maybe it's a little bit higher than that. Who knows?
Well, do you think that they've got better than a 10% chance of beating Alabama?
Oh, for sure. If you give me 10-1, I'm taking Florida all day.
Yeah. So let's just say, you know, what's their percentage chance of losing to Kentucky?
Kentucky they look terrible. I think Florida's probably
5% or something.
It's probably like 6 or 7. I mean, if I gave you 20-1 on Kentucky, would you take it?
20-1. Yeah, I'd probably take that.
That's 5% implied. So, yeah, but like,
yeah,
you know, if I gave you like 16-15-1 on Kentucky, you probably, yeah, I don't know if you'd do that or not.
Right.
So, yeah.
You plop on a couple percentage points from Kentucky, Tennessee, LSU. I mean, I think that there's, so what are you saying? You're saying that like the idea that they'll get to the SEC championship game unscathed is a lower probability than people are giving it credit for?
No, I think it's actually maybe more likely than what FBI and the computer see it as. Like I just 90% against Kentucky, 86% at Tennessee, 80% at home against LSU. Maybe those are real. Like maybe those are fair, and maybe I'm overestimating Florida. I just think, I don't know. I see 12% for UF, and I think, God, like they seem like it's more like 15% to me. If they can peak at the right time, they'll get Kyle Pitts back, and those guys will start to look better. The defense, I think, is going to start playing better at some point. I know Hopper was playing more this week. I don't know. It does seem a little bit low to me, and yet, doing this exercise made me go back and think, why is it this low? And I realized because that, according to ESPN, the chance that these guys win out is like just went out in the regular season, not even the conference title game, is not that great. Like it's high, but it's not, you know, incredibly high.
Yeah. I mean, but bottom line, like it would be shocking if they were to lose before Alabama, and it just boils down to, can they beat Alabama? And then that's just sort of where you're at. But I'm with you. Like it's hard to envision and they'll come in these last three. I think A&M's kind of interesting because if Alabama were to blow out Florida, let's just say 20 points, just a similar win a similar margin of victory to what was Bama A&M. And if Notre Dame is to beat Clemson again, Notre Dame's in, Bama's in, you're getting a Big Ten in. Then you're comparing A&M to Big 12 and Pac-12, basically. Because I don't think Clemson gets in with two losses to Notre Dame.
For sure.
So I think A&M's path in is actually a lot more. What do we have it at? Like 10% or something?
11, yeah.
It seems very reasonable. It's a very reasonable, like, leap for me to get to a scenario in which A&M is a strong contender.
And I do think they will have some games down the stretch that are not, they're like the game at Auburn is not a gimme. That's in 2 weekends. The LSU game.
Who else they got?
LSU at Auburn, at Tennessee. For as much as we rag on Tennessee, Tennessee has 2 games in their final 2 weekends A&M and Florida, they could be a major spoiler here in the playoff race.
Well, and you know, here's the other thing too, is because we are, yes, I'm with you. I'm just totally like cruising Florida to the SEC championship game. I'm sort of talking about A&M as a, you know, one loss, whatever that record puts them at, 9-1, 10-1. But because like this, I got to keep reminding myself, like it's very easy to envision Kyle Trask missing a game because of the COVID. You know, we could be sitting here looking at Florida, you know, A&M playing Tennessee with, you know, their starting punter and long snapper out. All right. Well, what's that going to do? I think that's part of what creeps some of these numbers down a little bit is just the idea of all the variants that's going to be thrown in our face.
That's fair. If you put Florida at like 15-16% and A&M at 13-14, it's just a couple percentage points bump up, but I do think it's a little bit more reflective of what the committee might do with them, especially if the committee thinks that highly of Alabama. Then, you know, losing to Alabama, even though it was by a lot, it was early in the year, you can make the whole they improved argument. If they were to smoke Auburn or something, maybe they beat Auburn by more than Bama beats Auburn or something like that. It's unlikely, but it's possible. I could see a way that A&M gets in. I don't think A&M right now, like one loss non-champion A&M, I don't think has a better resume than one loss non-champion Irish. Do you?
No, not unless Irish just get blown out against Clemson.
So they would have beaten Florida close in College Station. Notre Dame would have beaten Clemson, you know, obviously close. Notre Dame, we would assume here, would have also beaten North Carolina in this scenario. What is the second best win for A&M? Would it be Auburn?
I don't know. I guess. The SEC like is so crazy.
Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Arkansas, South Carolina, LSU, Tennessee, or the other choice.
I mean, yeah, it's the SEC is such a mess. It's probably Auburn, but Arkansas is probably better than Auburn, really. It's the SEC is a mess.
It really is. Is there anybody else on this list that we need to talk about? Wisconsin, to me, I think we can really strike that they have a 9.2% chance. I think they have like a negative 9.2% chance that there's no way in hell Wisconsin's going. And they're down games. They've already missed two games. So their resume is super light. They already have a loss. If they did even make the Big Ten championship game, to me, that would mean that Northwestern lost twice, which means the team that you lost to all of a sudden is not as quality of a loss. To me, that's a zero. Is there anybody else out there, if you look at your long shot board, that you think has a shot?
Well, I just got to bring them up. 0.8% chance, Oklahoma. They are, Bama wins out in a blowout in the SEC championship game. Notre Dame wins out. There's a flawed Pac-12 champ, whatever that looks like. Oklahoma gets Iowa State again in the championship game, beats them. Then basically you get down to let's even say Ohio State gets in, right? So then you're just comparing as an Oklahoma,
undefeated, I assume.
Right, as an undefeated. Then you just compare Oklahoma to what? Like a second team in the SEC, a Pac-12 champ that again that is not really a, like, we're not really sold on. Like, let's just even say it's a 6-0. Like, let's say USC. Let's say USC wins the Pac-12 at 6-0. And all their games are like the first two we've seen. You're going to take them? You're going to take that USC team over Oklahoma?
I don't know how you can.
I don't know how you can. Like, no way you can. I think Oklahoma is fascinating.
They're playing really
obviously
well
they're going
right
to need now. Some help. They're going to need some help. But I think Oklahoma is really interesting.
So the two games that Oklahoma really needs to have happen. Needs Auburn to beat A&M. And needs the Irish to beat Clemson in a rematch.
Yeah, so you think A&M would be a clear...
I think if you remove that roadblock, it's much easier for me to see the committee saying, yeah, Pac-12, guys, sorry, just a little bit too late to this dance. Oklahoma played 11 games. You guys played 7. It's just not the same thing. Oklahoma's playing much better. They might be able to make some excuses about the injuries and suspensions that they had early in the year with Perkins and Ramondre and those dudes. I can see it. And, I mean, if I'm Clemson or Ohio State, I'll be favored over Oklahoma. But, like, if Oklahoma keeps improving on this pace, like this slope they're improving on right now, I don't really want to play those guys. Rattler's talented as hell. Are they going to get Hazelwood back this year, by the way?
I think he's already back. I don't know how much he's played or how effective he's been, but he is back to available.
I mean, that's kind of scary. Their defense is looking a little bit better. This is a team nobody wants to play right now. 0.8% is not good. If you give me 125-1 on Oklahoma finding the way to sneak into the playoffs, which is kind of what the implied there is, I'm taking Oklahoma all day at those odds.
Yeah, especially if you're comparing against the Pac-12, if the Pac-12 champ has one game canceled, so they're looking at a 5-0 regular season, 6-0 with the conference championship game, then they'll basically have they'll be what, one game. They'll have played one additional game than Oklahoma since they began their slate, right? So Oklahoma would be on the same, like Oklahoma would be on a longer winning streak than any Pac-12 team that can toss at them. I mean, Oklahoma's won, they're sitting on a 3-game win streak as the Pac-12 is kicking off. So they're on a 5-game win streak right now. The Pac-12, the biggest win streak that they're on is a 3-game win streak. So like you can make a case, you can spin it where it's like, okay, I mean, the Pac-12 champ, they've won 6 games, they've won 7 games, but we did this too. I know we lost a couple games a long time ago. We were a different team then. Like judge us by the product we are right now, which is what the committee has been proven to like want to try to do. So I'm just saying, man, like I keep on playing that seed. I think it's going to be a really interesting discussion in a couple weeks.
I think you're exactly right. And we talked about this a little bit on the last show. Like Oklahoma, they're just staying alive. They have to look impressive. They have to keep winning. Obviously, they have to keep winning impressively. It's possible, man. Like it is possible. What else do we have here? Miami? Miami is a 1.3% chance of getting in.
They just need Clemson to lose, right? They need Clemson to lose another regular season game.
Yeah. If Clemson loses another one.
And they'd have to win out, obviously.
Right, which is not a gimme. I mean, they finish at Wake against North Carolina, hosting Georgia Tech. Now, the Georgia Tech game, I think, is the same date as the ACC championship game. So that would be, like, you wouldn't play that one if Clemson were to lose another game in the regular season. I don't know who Clemson has left other than FSU, who we just talked about. They have... Pitt and at Virginia Tech. It would be very, very, very Hokies to pull that off.
It would be very Miami too.
Oh, for sure.
So yeah, that could happen for sure.
That could happen. That's
Pitt could do it too.
If Pitt beats them again, that is wow. Like you could get it snows in Blacksburg. I mean, you could get a game at VTech and get some snow up there to some crazy conditions and get Hendon Hooker just doing quarterback sweep left and right. They win 10-3 and, you know.
Justin Fuente needs that. He needs it.
Did you see him go next question today during a press conference?
Was that today? He did next question after the game too.
Oh, maybe it was after the game. Sorry, I saw the thing today.
When it was asked if he's going to take over play calling duties.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Next question.
Seems like a reasonable question. It seems reasonable. Just engage in the question, coach. Just say no.
You just lost a pit. What are you going to do next? Well, yeah. not hand off play calling duties, apparently. Indiana, pour one out for those guys. They gave Ohio State a nice run. Washington? I don't think so. What if Washington plays BYU and smokes BYU and then goes undefeated and wins the Pac-12?
That's what I'm saying. I think Washington – I don't get why Washington is so, – I guess it's the fact they've already had a game canceled and potentially have two games canceled. That kills them. So, yes, that. But if not for that, I don't know. You know, they would be right up there with Oregon and USC. I think Washington's been playing good football so far.
All right, here's one for you. Last one of the night. Can you, and these are 0.2 and 0.1 each. Can you please explain to me the scenario in which Georgia or Texas gets into the college football playoff?
Yeah, there's a lot of mental gymnastics there. I did not go down that rabbit hole.
I put it on here. I was like, how? Maybe Barton's thought about this. I can't see it.
I guess technically on the Texas side of things, you could have the same argument as Oklahoma, except you would just need a whole hell of a lot more carnage everywhere else. Georgia, I guess it would just take Florida just absolutely tanking down the home stretch, right?
So Florida loses to Kentucky and Tennessee. Georgia gets in. They beat Alabama with JT Daniels. They claim that basically, hey. Like, hey, we didn't have JT Daniels. He wasn't healthy to start the year. Now he's back. This is the real UGA, the UGA that can't run the ball at all somehow, but can throw for 400. Just no problem. Yeah,
they need Kyle Trask to get COVID.
Yeah, basically.
They need Kyle Trask to get COVID. They need Florida to lose two games. And then it starts to be conceivable because, hey, maybe this Georgia team is different with JT Daniels under center.
All right, here's one for you. Florida loses at Tennessee, still makes the SEC title game, and they beat Bama. Are they in as a two-loss SEC champ?
Yes.
Because they beat the Tide. Okay.
Yes, I think so.
That would be wild.
I think so. I mean, it's easy for me to sit here saying that right now because I didn't watch Florida lose to Tennessee. And so I think in watching that happen, you know, that might affect some of the brain activity that would, you know, that might change things.
I mean, Fulmer fires Pruitt, steps in as the head coach officially, and just, you know, coaches them to a victory, like history repeating itself like it did 20 years ago. And yeah, that's all I got, man. I'm pretty tapped out. You got any more? Like, there's a couple more, I guess, on the list, but I can't do it.
No, I think we hit the big ones. We'll find out on Tuesday. Let's see what happens on this rankings reveal. It'll tell us a lot about what the committee's thinking. Like, if they have like Oregon up there at 8 or something crazy like that, then that's or I don't know, maybe that's not crazy. I'm just curious how they have the Pac-12.
Are you seeing, by the way, that they are actually hosting these meetings in person still?
Yeah, that's sort of that doesn't really fly with logic to me, but whatever.
It's like, all right, guys, you need to stay quarantined in your dorms. Don't go out. The ADs are like, jet setting, let's go. The Gaylord Hotel in Dallas. Like, boom.
Yeah, and they were like, if players can play and make all these sacrifices, it's the least we can do to meet in person. It's like, listen, bro, like if these players could play virtually, they'd be playing virtually. Just swallow your egos, chill on the corporate expense account, and do it over Zoom like everyone else right now.
Aren't some of these people on this committee like pretty old and actually in the risk zone for COVID?
I got to check the latest committee update. You know what I hate? A little tangent. I hate ADs on that committee.
Yeah.
What qualifies an AD to be on that committee? Like don't they have an athletic department to run? I want people on that committee that are watching games just nonstop. Like, that's their job. Retired coaches, Give me retired coaches. Give me just smart people. They don't have to. They don't have to be retired coaches.
Put Urban on.
Put Urban on there. Yeah, just put people on there that are going to devote themselves to like. I just don't know how you can run an athletic department and then have an opinion on, you know, where Boise State should be ranked in the top 25.
Urban, throw Frank Beamer on there, I guess. I think about like guys who either played for or won a national title as coaches who are not actively coaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bowden, probably a little too old at this point. Wouldn't do him. Butch Davis could just retire from FIU. They're not looking so hot. Throw him on there.
I know, man. Bad. I thought he had something going there.
Dude, that was rough. And they have Devontae Price, who I've always liked, and they still can't do anything.
I'm good.
All right, man.
All right.
I'll see you. We got to figure out a schedule for this week. But we'll do that. We'll keep you guys updated. Check Twitter. Peace.
See ya.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob? Well, all
right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.